NASA waits another day to decide on heat shield repairs. AirTran makes yet another bid for Midwest. And the U.S. Army's new light utility helicopter has vocal critics. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 16, 2007. Late Wednesday, NASA engineers still had not determined whether to call for another spacewalk by astronauts aboard the International Space Station to make repairs to the heat shield of the shuttle Endeavour. Engineers earlier determined that the gouge, which happened during the launch, posed no danger to the astronauts during re-entry, but could allow heat damage to Endeavour's underlying aluminum structure, complicating the turnaround for the craft's next mission. We've been told to expect a decision sometime on Thursday. At 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, mission controllers called an early end to a spacewalk by mission specialist Rick Mastracchio after a routine look at his equipment using a helmet-mounted camera detected a small hole in the thumb of his spacesuit's left glove. Both gloves had damage. Neither was deemed dangerous, but the decision was made as a precaution. Mastracchio and flight engineer Clay Anderson were conducting routine construction and modification to the exterior of the International Space Station and had been scheduled to retrieve a science experiment from the station's exterior to return to Earth for analysis. That task will now be postponed until a future spacewalk. AirTran's last buyout offer for Midwest Airlines was described as its last and best, but apparently it was neither. On Tuesday, AirTran Holdings raised its offer to buy Midwest by 3% to $445 million, or $16.25 per share. As ANN reported, Midwest Air Group, parent company of Midwest Airlines, opted Sunday to pursue a buyout offer by TPG Capital. That consortium, which offered $16 per share, is backed by Northwest Airlines. According to Reuters, however, Pequot Capital Management, a large shareholder in Midwest, objected to the TPG offer. That presented an opportunity for AirTran to jump back in. AirTran Chief Operating Officer Bob Fornaro said AirTran raised its offer for Midwest for the fourth time since December of 2006, at the request of Midwest shareholders. Midwest management has said repeatedly it wants to operate as a standalone airline, something the TPG offer would allow it to do. If AirTran wins, Midwest would be absorbed into the Atlanta-based low-cost carrier's operations. The new AirTran offer has no expiration date. The U.S. Army's selection of a modified Eurocopter EC-145 as its light utility helicopter has drawn fire from weapons testers at the Pentagon, who say the aircraft has several shortcomings in its intended role. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports a new report by the Director of Operational Test and Evaluation says the Hilo is not operationally suitable for hot environments due to inadequate cabin air conditioning that could lead to crew discomfort and avionics problems. Testers at Fort Irwin, California, found the UH-72A Lakota also could not haul the required loads on hot days or at high altitudes. They said the cabin is too small and not configured to allow room for a medical attendant and two patients on stretchers. The Pentagon responds that the aircraft is effective in the performance of light utility missions, proven reliable in testing, easy to maintain, with lower operational costs than the UH-1H Hueys and OH-58 Kiowas now in service. Eurocopter LUH program manager Randy Hutcherson told the paper the company is working with the Army to address the capability of the air conditioning. As for cabin space, Hutcherson says the Army never specified a need to transport two patients at once. That's something civil air ambulances are not required to do. The Army plans to eventually purchase 322 of the helicopters for use by Army and National Guard units for light transport and medevac missions. Transportation Security Administrator Kip Hawley told an aviation industry group in Washington recently that there's a new kind of security agent on duty at more than a dozen U.S. airports, trained to detect facial expressions and body language indicative of deceit. The idea stems from research which revealed that people trying to conceal deceptive behavior exhibit involuntary flashes of facial and body movement, fractions of a second in duration, which correlate with feelings of fear and disgust. The technique has reportedly already netted drug dealers, illegal immigrants, and terrorism suspects. Scientists are working on automating the detection process so it can be done by video cameras and computers. There's no word yet on how the trained observers can distinguish criminal fear and disgust from the normal kind felt by most of us while watching screeners work over the people ahead of us in line. Up next on ANN, New York State makes a statement on airline passenger rights. Brazil's TAM Airlines takes precautions to avoid a rerun. And a Korean War-era T-28 suffers a landing overrun in Illinois. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 16th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The state of New York, which has a recent history of attempts to wrest jurisdiction from the federal government in areas affecting aviation, is trumpeting one-upsmanship in creating a state airline passenger bill of rights. The law, signed August 2nd by Governor Eliot Spitzer, will go into effect in January. It requires passengers on any flight which has left its gate but remains on the tarmac over 3 hours to be afforded access to food, water, fresh air, power, and working restrooms. Airlines found in violation could face fines of up to $1,000 per passenger. The law also establishes an Office of the Airline Consumer Advocate to enforce its provisions, apparently inspired by the strandings reported at New York City's John F. Kennedy Airport in February and March. Like the federal version of the Passenger Bill of Rights attached to FAA reauthorization legislation currently going through the U.S. Senate, the New York law stops short of requiring airlines to allow passengers to deplane after being stranded 3 hours. Critics of the New York measure say it clearly violates existing law by interfering in federal regulation of airlines, as evidenced by recent attempts by New York to impose criminal background checks on flight school students and raise the minimum age at which students can solo. State politicians don't seem shy about pushing the federal envelope. As Brazil's aviation industry staggers following its worst airline disaster ever, TAM Airlines has announced it will no longer allow its planes to land at Congonhas Airport in Sao Paulo without thrust reversers activated. That policy change follows a July 17th crash that killed 199 people. TAM stopped short of admitting that failure to use thrust reversers contributed to the overrun accident on that rain-slicked runway, but said in a statement that the new policy will be in effect until more information about the cause of the crash is determined. TAM says it allowed planes to fly without a thrust reverser with government approval, and that manufacturers' procedures for the Airbus A320 also allowed the practice. Company officials spoke before a Brazilian congressional panel. A T-28B Trojan was damaged on Sunday afternoon when it overran a runway at Joliet Regional Airport in Illinois. The 52-year-old trainer is based at, and owned by, the Indiana Aviation Museum, and was landing to take part in an aviation picnic at the airport. The Munster, Indiana Times quoted Museum President James Reed in reporting that the T-28 was unable to stop when it landed and subsequently rolled into a creek at the end of the runway, submerging the plane's nose up to about the wings. The Joliet runway is just under 3,000 feet long. Pilot and museum vice president Kathy Harrell and passenger William Mowbray were not injured. Reed said the weather was good with no wind at the time of the accident. He added that the damage is not known, but the plane is fixable. The T-28 was acquired by the museum in 2001 for use in air shows and educational programs. An attempt by New Zealand's Wellington Airport to increase landing fees to fund capital improvements has brought protests from airlines, who say the airport is using its monopoly status to gouge passengers and carriers. Air New Zealand has gone as far as to take the airport to High Court judicial review. The airline claims Wellington is over-recovering, or raising more money than it needs to operate, by $18 million a year. The airport disputes that, citing over $86 million in planned capital improvements, and says the new fees were set with input, if not total agreement, from airlines. The Australian Associated Press reports the fee increases in question amount to 2.85% in each of the next 5 years, an annual increase of about 30 cents per passenger ticket on average. Airport CEO Simon Draper hints that opponents of the fees are not attentive to the future. Quote, "We are very confident that this package is in the best interests of traveling customers and airlines who wish to grow the market," unquote. Still ahead, Travelocity says it accidentally violated the U.S.-Cuban travel embargo. Airbus will take the A380 on tours of Asia and the U.S. And Boeing and Virgin Atlantic announce further cooperation on the environment. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 16th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The travel website Travelocity.com has settled a complaint brought by the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control over what it says were automated sales of travel services to Cuba, which violated the half-century-old U.S. embargo. The Associated Press reports the company paid about $183,000 in the settlement after it was accused of violating the travel embargo almost 1,500 times over a seven-year period starting in January 1998. Travelocity spokesman Joel Fry told AP on Wednesday, quote, "The trips to Cuba were unintentionally permitted to be booked by consumers online because of some technical failures several years ago, and it's just now being finally settled with OFAC. In no way did the company intend to allow bookings for trips to Cuba, and the company has fully cooperated with OFAC and implemented corrective measures," unquote. Treasury spokeswoman Molly Miller-Wise said any individual or business that violates the Cuban sanctions can face civil or criminal penalties. OFAC recently fined two individuals a total of over $1,500 for buying Cuban cigars over the internet. Airbus is set to bring its mammoth A380 Super Jumbo airliner on a series of demonstration tours starting August 30th, traveling to key airports in the U.S. and Southeast Asia. The Asia A380 tour will be conducted with flight test aircraft MSN-007, powered by four Rolls-Royce Trend 900 engines. The jet is flying with a full passenger cabin, which can comfortably carry 520 passengers in a three-class cabin environment. The U.S. tour will involve the A380 number MSN-009, powered by four Engine Alliance GP7200 engines. That aircraft, which has no passenger cabin, will be on static display at Connecticut's Bradley International Airport, Cincinnati North Kentucky Airport, and San Francisco International during the first week in October. Airbus says the demonstration tours allow the aircraft to undergo airport compatibility checks, ground handling, and maintenance procedures, and confirm its readiness to enter service. The A380 has already visited more than 45 airports. By 2011, more than 70 airports will be ready for A380 operations. Boeing and Virgin Atlantic Airways announced this week the airline will use Boeing's airplane health management system to monitor the in-flight condition of its 747 fleet, another step in the company's growing partnership focused on reducing the environmental impact of air travel. As ANN reported, earlier this year, Boeing and Virgin Atlantic said they will work together to reduce fuel burn and cut aircraft emissions on the ground, as well as developing sustainable biofuels suitable for commercial jet engines and the aviation industry. Airplane health management gives airlines significant insight as to the condition of airplanes in the sky, providing in-flight access to fuel burn information so airlines can identify and correct waste. AHM also supports long-term fleet reliability programs by helping airlines identify and respond to faults proactively. Airplane health management is a key component in Boeing's larger vision of the E-enabled airline, where information technology, connectivity, and strategic integration promise greater efficiency and improved airline operations. And finally, the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA, really wants its transportation security officers, the TSOs, to become a cadre of well-trained professional transportation security officers. The agency's National Advisory Council identified uniforms as a crucial part of that effort. And so, starting this fall, the TSA will outfit the TSOs in threads more reflective of the critical nature of their work and of the high standards they must uphold. Featuring blue shirts with dark ties, dark slacks with a blue stripe down the side, and a shoulder patch featuring the bald eagle, the design was created with the help of a board, which included TSOs and managers from all three TSA regions. TSA says the initiative was guided by the basic principle that dress and appearance should promote esprit de corps while instilling trust and confidence in the public. It's hoped the uniform will become a readily identifiable symbol of the security mission and role of the TSO in executing the agency's core values, integrity, innovation, and team spirit. Before being finalized, the new TSO uniform concept was presented on TSA's Idea Factory, an online forum for TSA employees to openly and candidly discuss their ideas with other members of the workforce around the country. Prototype uniforms were unveiled on an employee webcast with Administrator Kip Hawley in mid-July. I'm just wondering, when logging into the Idea Factory to give open and candid suggestions to the TSA, does a TSO have to use a real name? And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Nicole Wahlberg of the Evergreen Aviation Museum in Oregon, home of the Spruce Goose, which has a big weekend coming up. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.